Blessed are you, O Virgin Mary. From you came your Son, the Word of the Eternal Father. Alleluia. 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 The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. The Gospel of the Lord. We are here in this most beautiful basilica dedicated to the motherhood of God. The motherhood is not just a relationship. The motherhood is a series of actions of love, as every mom here knows. And what I'd like to focus on is how Mary, not just as Jesus' mother, but as our mother, bequeathed to us on Calvary, helps us on the pilgrimage of our life. The Second Vatican Council, in its dogmatic constitution on the Church, the light of the world, Lumen Gentium, had this beautiful section on the Blessed Mother. And it concludes that whole beautiful section on Our Lady by focusing on how she is our star in the midst of a stormy sea. That she is the image of the pilgrim people of God. That she shows us already not just the end of the pilgrimage, at her son's glorious right side. But she shows us how to make the journey. And so Mary not only is our mother and patroness in this 2019 pilgrimage to Rome, but far more importantly, she wants us on this pilgrimage to learn how to count on her maternal love the entire journey until she prays she will be able to welcome us under her mantle forever. How does Mary guide us on our pilgrimage? We can first look at how Mary guides us in faith. Mary's whole life is a flourishing of faith, and she shows us what faith really means. When the Archangel Gabriel shocked her by appearing to her when she was praying and said, "Hail, you have been filled with grace, the Lord is with you," and revealed to her what God's plans had been for her, not just from the first moment of her conception, St. Anne's womb, but from the foundation of the world, that she would become the mother of the eternal Son. She was filled with fear, as any of us would be, before such an exalted vocation. But when the Archangel Gabriel explained to her how precisely the modality that God would choose, she responded with a faith that she wants to characterize her own life. "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word." Now that very phrase, she became God's mother. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her and she conceived Jesus within. She wants to help us to make that same act of faith, to let our entire life each day develop according to the Lord's word and will. To do that, she wants to nourish our own heart so that it might become a pure and contemplative heart like hers. What does it mean in Luke 2:19-51, where St. Luke tells us that she treasured these things in her heart? In the Greek, there are two verbs that are being employed there. Cardinal Ratzinger wrote about this prior to his papacy. First word that Mary pondered these things. In Greek, that means she put all the pieces together like a mosaic. It's the word for that a mosaicist uses. That everything that occurred in her life was one more tessera that would be placed into the masterpiece God was doing. And so there was the big tessera of the incarnation at the Annunciation, the huge one of the words of St. Elizabeth, how is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The huge ones throughout the joyful mysteries. But then she likewise put in those contradictions when her fellow Nazarenes wanted to run Jesus off the cliff on which Nazareth had been built and toss him to his death. She interpreted that within the whole. When the mob was crying out, "Give us Barabbas, crucify him," she interpreted that in the whole. Here on Calvary, when we see Jesus being crucified, she remembered the Archangel Gabriel's word that her son would be great, would be given the throne of David his father, and his kingdom would have no end. And even as she was seeing those hands that used to grip her finger as a little boy, that belly she used to bathe with water, now bathed with blood and filled with nails, she continued to insert that with faith into the whole masterpiece of God's love. Mary wants to help us to have that type of contemplative heart, of faith. Pope Benedict said Mary's memory was not the memory of Rain Man that can memorize hundreds and thousands of telephone numbers in a phone book. It was a memory that was brought on in, placed into the big picture, and then treasured as part of God's continuous goodness. Mary wants to lead us on a similar pilgrimage of letting our life develop according to the map of the Word of God. Second way she guides us is through hope. Mary is the Mater Spei, the mother of Christian hope, because she shows us that no matter what occurs, God is good to his promises. She has been called throughout the centuries Daughter Zion, because she never lost the hope that was promised to the Jews. Why was she chosen to be God's mom? Some of the mystics over the course of time have said because she desired the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy more than anyone who would ever lived. She hoped in all that God had himself given witness to. And that's why when we look at her Magnificat, we see how she put together as the various fibers of a piece of cloth, the various strands of the Old Testament hopes, all the great witness of the heroines of Old Testament times had come into her heart, filled her with hope, and she blasted out this great hymn of hope that the Lord would be merciful to us, that he would make her name great among all nations, because he had looked on her in her humility, and all generations would call her blessed. Mary wants us to have a similar hope, that her son never lies, that he'll make good on all that he has promised, and that even should we have to suffer and be reviled by everybody, our reward in heaven would be great, for so they had done to the prophets before us. Mary, third, is an extraordinary witness of Christian charity. This pilgrimage of the church through time is a pilgrimage of charity. Mary's visitation was one in which as soon as the Archangel Gabriel had departed, she went with haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth because she was pregnant in her old age in order to be able to help her through what would have been easily anticipated as a difficult pregnancy. She wants us similarly to go with haste, to care for our neighbors, and to do the same thing she was doing in that mystery, taking the Jesus we conceive within out to others to make them, because of Jesus, leap again. How are we to enter into this relationship with Our Lady? How are we to help, to be helped by her precisely in this pilgrimage of our life? The great saints have said we do that principally through consecration. That it's not just that we'll pray the rosary every day as an external action, or pray a certain amount of memorare, or pray the Angelus, or pray three Hail Marys before we go to bed. Mary wants to have a relationship with us as beloved sons and daughters of a beloved mother. And that happens through consecration. The very act of consecration is promoted by the saints, is to entrust ourselves to Mary's maternal love, placing ourselves at her disposition, counting on her to obtain from her Son everything we need to walk by faith, to walk with hope, to walk in charity. Some of you may be reading this new book that has come on out 2 years ago, published by Angelical Press, called In Sinu Jesu, The Diary of a Priest at Prayer. And in there, Jesus is giving his response to the scandals that plague the church. He said the greatest cause of the scandals is so many in the church, especially priests, have lost their friendship with the Lord. And he wants to recover that intimate friendship through prayer. But he said for that to occur, Mary is praying for us, and she wants to show us how that friendship is done. And he appealed to us in that book through that Benedictine priest, saying, my hope for you is far more than merely you'll have devotions to my mother. He says, what I hope for you is that you will really let her become your spiritual mother and entrust her even the littlest things of every day. So not just when we need the great miracles, but the little things of every day. That's what it means to be consecrated. To say, I'm not going to do it all on my own. I'm going to do it in tandem with a mother who will never love me more. This pilgrimage on which Mary leads us on earth has a directionality. And that directionality is the Holy Eucharist. Mary's constantly trying to lead us to her Son, present for us under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John Paul II thought about the mystery of Mary with regard to the Eucharist. He prayed that all of us would recover her amazement at the presence of her Son. That Mary's wondrous gaze as she was holding her Son wrapped in swaddling clothes in her arms is meant to anticipate the way we receive Holy Communion. Her treasuring Jesus growing within her womb for 9 months is supposed to be the way we treasure that same Lord Jesus as the blessed fruit of her womb enters within us. Mary has been praying for us in anticipation of this day so that when we celebrate this Mass, it may really jumpstart us anew on the pilgrimage of life. Today, as we receive the body and blood of her Son from the tree of life at Calvary, underneath which she stood, praying for us and embracing us like St. John. Let us thank her Son Jesus for giving us this, his own mother, to breastfeed us on our pilgrimage of the faith. And let us ask that her prayers for us might reach their fulfillment, and we might come at her right side or her Son's right side to give glory to the Lord forever and ever. For the same Almighty God who did great things for her, through her, wishes to do great things in us. Praise be Jesus Christ.